Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. So send us a note if you have an idea or just want to say hi. Our email address is indianaweekend@gmail.com. Any show that, well, wanders around Indiana like this one has sort of a soft spot for the peripatetic travelers we meet along the way. Imagine, for example, two recent Indiana State University grads, Amanda and Sean. They are video storytellers. In particular, they enjoy telling the stories of volunteers trying to make a difference in their communities. Good enough so far, right? Amanda and Sean decide to travel around finding volunteers to profile. Okay, Amanda and Sean are doing this from a 20-year-old van in which they live. It's called the Blue Van Project, and that, of course, is their website, too. And the other day, we caught up with Amanda by phone from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I am sitting in a parking lot on my computer doing some research.
You're sitting in a parking lot. Tell me what you guys are up to. Take it from the beginning. How did all this get started?
Well, I guess it really started like 2 years ago. We were floating down the river on our canoes, and we had just graduated from college, and we were trying to just think of what we wanted to do, and we were just throwing ideas out, like, you know, crazy ideas, and we eventually came to the conclusion that we were going to go work in Yellowstone for a summer, and that kind of evolved into, well, let's move into a van. It'll be easier. We won't have to pay for hotels or anything. And so we moved into our van in April of 2012, and we went out to Yellowstone for the summer, which was, it was kind of like a six-month work thing. And then we got addicted to living in our van, so we decided once we got back to Indiana and we were working our normal jobs and we weren't really doing anything fulfilling, we decided we wanted to do something to help people out, and we also wanted to move back into our van. So this is kind of the idea we came up with, you know, in order to make those two things happen.
Living in your van. Let me make sure I've got that right. You're living in your van.
What? Yes.
I'm a dad. I'm imagining. What do the folks say about this?
Well, you know, it's not as bad as you'd think. They're very supportive of us. At first, I think my mom's first reaction, because we're 25 and we got married last year, the first thing she said to me was, "You guys are going to have kids eventually, right?" Because, like, we don't have a job and we don't have a house or anything, so it is a little bit strange. But his parents are kind of, they're still trying to wrap their minds around it. Like, they still ask us, like, about things like that you need electricity for, and we're like, well, we don't have electricity, we're in a van, so.
What did you do to the van to make it livable?
Well, it's a 92 Ford Econoline. It's actually a conversion van, so the back seat turns into a bed. We just put an extra comforter to make it a little more comfortable, and we took out the extra two passenger seats and put a rug down and some they have, like, plastic drawers that you can buy at, like, Walmart or Dollar General for, like, $5. And we got a bunch of those to put our stuff in, and that's it.
Away you go. It reminds me of William Least Heat Moon, Blue Highway. Did you ever read that book?
No.
It's about a guy who hits the road, traveling the blue highways around the country. So, gosh, you must be, are you keeping a journal, or what are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to keep up a blog, but I've always tried to write a blog, like, my entire life since I was in high school, but I always fall out of it, so I'm trying really hard to keep a travel blog.
But you've got some pretty good material. You've done one of these videos already. Talk about that a little bit.
It's about Hope Haven Horse Farm in Coatesville, Indiana. It's just a little horse farm with a staff of a handful of people, all really great people, so genuine and nice, and they just love the work they do. And basically what we did is we just went out there and we interviewed everybody and kind of asked them a little bit about what they do and how they feel about volunteering and people getting involved in their community and what it really means to their organization. And I don't know, it's just amazing to see how much if people just lend like an hour a week, it's just amazing to see how much of a difference it can make, especially in like their organization where it's basically all volunteers. That's kind of like what we're trying to expose, is the fact that if you just get out there, and even if you don't have the time, if you have the money, donate a little bit of money, or if you don't have the money and you know somebody who would have the time, you know, just kind of getting people to work together as a community and embrace the idea of a community and a neighborhood and help each other out.
And that's the idea of the Blue Van Project. You're documenting this, you're helping people tell their stories?
Yeah, we're kind of trying to help the organizations that we're helping. We're basically just kind of, it's a little bit like promotional videos. We're just kind of trying to show the world about them and show people that other people are doing really great things, and they might not necessarily have like a great job or, you know, have a lot of money, but they still go out to these places and make extraordinary changes in the community, and they have these small roles, but it makes such a big impact. It's amazing. It's like we've learned so much even since we started, more than we anticipated learning. So,
is there a moment that sticks in your mind that you thought, wow?
I think it's more about the things we learned. Like when we went to the horse farm, I lived near there most of my life, and I had never even heard of them. And when I talked to like strangers about it, they said, oh, is that the retired horse farm, like where they put retired horses? And so I was kind of expecting it to be like a bunch of old horses and maybe a couple people out there taking care of them. But like once you get out there and you see that they have, while we were there, there were like maybe 5 clients that came on a regular basis. And just to see like the people with the traumatic brain injuries, them riding on a horse and the way they would react to the volunteers in different ways, and the way the volunteers just really, it's, these people aren't being paid, or they have no other incentive other than the human relationship to be there. And just, I guess, just learning and seeing how reactive people are to other people if you just open up your heart and open up your mind.
That's Amanda Kennedy, who with her husband, Sean, both recent graduates of Indiana State University, are out to travel the country for what they call the Blue Van Project, a documentary web series advocating public service. More details, including a look at their video work, at thebluevanproject.com.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Big day next Saturday in western Indiana along the Wabash River. For the 19th year, Duke Energy is hosting its annual Eagle Viewing Day at the Cayuga Power Plant, about 35 miles north of Terre Haute. The public is welcome. Thousands of people have come out to watch the birds over the years. We'll put the details on our Facebook page in case that's something you'd like to see. We went out there last year and talked with Daniel Arndt, an environmental scientist with Duke Energy. We also check in with a couple of folks who came out to see the eagles, but we'll start with Daniel.
Well, right now we're looking at the warm water discharge from Cayuga Station into Wabash River. And normally we get juvenile and mature bald eagles that nest in around the trees right near the discharge.
And so these eagles live around here, or are they coming from somewhere else?
Yes and no. We do have a lot of nests around Sugar Creek and the Wabash River, so we do have some residents, but also they do migrate from up north because, you know, as the water freezes, open water's available. Up there's not, it's gone, and so they're looking for open water, and they come here and find it.
It really turned out pretty nice. In fact, yeah. I'm a little too warm.
My name's Frank Hoke, and I'm from Clinton, Indiana.
Tell me what kind of luck you've had in spotting the eagles today.
Well, they've got this one here spotted right out. It's on the bend of the river right there. So that's the only one we've been seen setting so far.
You come out here every year?
No, this is my first year, although I live in the area. And in the summertime, we do the Sugar Creek trip with the canoes. And you can see them in the summertime on the Sugar Creek.
Eagles are kind of bird you don't see every day.
Oh, no, not around here, that's for sure. So we're lucky they're nesting in this area.
How many eagles might there be around here this time of year, attracted by the fishing opportunities?
I'd say around 100 or more. We think we've seen on really harsh winter days up to 30 or 40 out here.
And because on those real harsh winter days, this is the space where there'd be some water where they can get the fish.
Yes, especially with the warm water discharge, it attracts a fish from the river to congregate around that area because it gives them a refugia. And so you concentrate the food, you get habitat, you get a remote area, you get eagles.
I don't remember as a kid where we would see stuff like this.
The eagles, not as when we were kids, the eagles weren't around. They'd just been reintroduced to this area, and they're starting to thrive.
And for folks who have not had a chance to see that, describe that a little bit.
Well, I mean, you can. It's one of the wonders of the world. I mean, you can see this stuff on TV, but until you see one in person, when you see one up close, you see one in the wild, it's just breathtaking.
And you bring your own spotting scope here?
I got a pair of binoculars that's older than I am. So that's what I bring.
Eagles were endangered at one point, right? What's happened there?
Yes, they were listed in 1978 as federally endangered, and then so that act prevented illegal taking of the eagles themselves and their habitat, and then in 2007 they were delisted as federally endangered, and now I think they're listed as species of special concern.
Now, what do most people not realize about the bald eagle?
I would say that their numbers are so high. I mean, you know, I know back then it was kind of a rare thing to see a bald eagle, but now, especially with my work on the Wabash River, I see several while I'm out, you know, conducting the sampling. So I think just the availability to see them and the numbers.
Can you tell me your name? Where are you from?
Troy Hauer. I'm from Terre Haute, Indiana.
So have you had any luck today? Have you seen some of the birds?
Yeah, seen a couple.
Tell me about that.
Got one sitting over here on the left side and one way out there. Both adults, got the white head and everything.
And do you get to see them fishing? Do you get to see them?
Right now they're just sitting. I said earlier that there's some out there flying around, but right now they're just sitting.
Do you come here every year for this?
This is about my third year. Not every year, but we come quite often.
And do you get to see them each time?
Oh, yeah. Seen eagles every time.
This time of year, this is a good opportunity to get out of the house.
Oh, yes, definitely. And the weather today is beautiful. Been here before when it's been very cold and you can't even stand it, but this year is really nice.
When you come out here, what do you get to see the eagles doing? Usually they're sitting in a tree or?
I've seen them flying year to year. I've seen them actually dive into the river. They're majestic. I mean, that's why they're our, you know, national bird. I mean, they're beautiful.
You're a scientist. Is there a piece of this, though, where you go, gosh, that sure is a nice-looking bird? I mean, there comes a time, I would imagine, when you're looking at it as a scientist, but you're also saying, man, I'm really seeing something here.
Yeah, it's just, to me, as a scientist, it's just cool to see their recovery story. I think DNR did a survey in 2010, and they saw around 110 eagle nests. So just the recovery story and how conservation efforts really do work.
The eagle's hunting ability stems from keen eyesight.
Yeah, they can locate their prey up to 2 miles away, and so these are keen eyesight mainly. They don't really have a good sense of smell, so it's really that. They're strong flyers. They live pretty long. So you know, it's really keen eyesight and then experience as they learn to fish.
Did you see that crazy viral video that came out a few weeks ago? The baby in the park, the eagle swoops.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I think that I saw that and got a chuckle, honestly, but it was a hoax, I believe.
Yeah, it was a hoax. As a biologist, when you saw that, did you go, wait a minute, no way?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of, I know, you know, golden eagles are large and can carry large prey items, but, they don't really tolerate human activity that much. So just to have one come in a park, you know, with all those people, you're like, wait a minute.
That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, and plus, you know, on the internet, you know, you never know what's true and what's not.
But should you be careful if you have a cat or something and a small dog in the backyard? Is that something that these birds could conceivably go after? Or?
Conceivably, yes. Especially kind of immature eagles, once they first leave the nest, they haven't really learned how to fish yet, and they're looking for, usually they scavenge, so there's actually one of the eagles there at the Eagle Foundation was living in somebody's backyard, so, you know, if you do have a resident eagle in your backyard, there's that possibility, but I don't think it's likely.
Unlikely. Yeah. Well, we can all rest easy, right?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me a time when you were out here that it was like the best sighting that you ever had?
Really, it's just doing the fisheries work. We use an airboat, and so we'll see. I've seen times where they're out in the up in the air fighting with other eagles and hawks, and no real one time that stuck out, but just those instances where you're just enjoying the view as you're or going to and from our workstations.
That's Daniel Arndt, an environmental scientist for Duke Energy at the company's annual Bald Eagle Viewing Day last year. This year's Eagle Day is next Saturday, January 25th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Duke Energy Cayuga Power Plant, about 35 miles north of Terre Haute on State Road 63. By the way, you can go to the Indiana Department of Natural Resources website to find other places to see the eagles, which come down our way in the winter looking for open water in which to fish.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
A little something different this week. We're chatting with a couple of young Indiana State University grads, Amanda and Sean Kennedy. They are traveling across the country in what they call the Blue Van Project, shooting online video testimonials about volunteers and community service. By the way, the Blue Van is also their home, and Amanda talked about their rolling video project during a stop in Tennessee the other day.
Today was actually our last day with Chattanooga's Kids on the Block, which is a puppeteering company. What they do is use their puppets to kind of help children stay safe and healthy. Like, they have various skits on bullying, child abuse, personal hygiene, healthy eating, just kind of things like that to kind of present to the children. And the children react to the puppets as if they are other children, which is very cool. They took us out to one of the schools the other day, and we got to watch every program that they present to the kids. And it's amazing. The kids kind of forget the puppeteers are there, and they ask these really just amazing questions, like about abuse and health. It's really amazing to see how they react.
How long do you think you and Sean will do this, Amanda?
I guess it depends. We want to do it for about a year or maybe a year and a half, because that would give us three seasons, and each season has 12 episodes, so that would give us like 36 episodes and 36 organizations, which means that we'll reach 36 different towns, and that many more people will know about, you know, volunteering, and maybe that many more people will get involved in their communities. So hopefully a year and a half, but if we don't get the funding, we're just going to take this as long as we can and then get a job wherever we break down.
How are you funded?
Well, we have a lot of savings because we got married and we used most of the gifts from our wedding. We just put it straight into savings for this. So we have a lot of savings as far as that goes. And then we had an Indiegogo account, which is kind of like a crowdfunding online. And that raised about $600 from friends and family. And then we have a donate button on our website at thebluevanproject.com. So if anybody wants to donate, they can do it that way. Or we're also selling bumper stickers, and we're making T-shirts. And I've also got a couple little ideas of things to make to sell on the website, but I haven't done it yet. So,
is there something in your upbringing or, would people who knew you in fifth grade, would they say, oh, yeah, that's Amanda. Of course she's doing this. I mean, what kind of kid were you?
I still am, actually. The phone is kind of deceiving. I'm a very quiet and very shy person. So I don't necessarily know what people would say, honestly. I guess I never really got super adventurous until college. So I don't know if people in fifth grade would think that. And Sean's the same way. I mean, Sean's been doing videography basically his whole life. So people would say, yeah, that's what he would do. But we're both very shy people.
What do you want to do when you come off the road?
Well, I guess if I were to get my dream job, I would love to work in an art gallery. I did it a little bit in college, and I fell in love with it. I love seeing the different artwork and meeting the different people, and most of all, I love installing the artwork and moving it around and getting to touch things that people aren't allowed to touch. I don't know. son, he wants to be a videographer, so he wants to do it his whole life. And he's good at it, so I hope he does.
You see, but, now, when you live that close with somebody, even there, when they're your beloved, there has to be something. Where's the friction come in? What does Sean do? You want him to knock it off.
What do you do, Sean? What's the friction in our relationship? I don't know. You wouldn't believe it, but we are actually really content with each other. I mean, you have to be to live in this small of a space. What is it that we do? I don't know. I can't think of any. We don't really, I mean, I guess we're still newlyweds. We don't really argue, and we never really have argued, so I'm not sure.
What's been the best moment so far? It's still pretty early in all this, but was there a particular sunset that was pretty coming over the mountains? Or
there have been so many. Yeah, there's been a sunset over the mountain, and there's been a hike up a mountain and a waterfall, and, you know, and there was actually one night that, like, because it got really cold last week here as well as in Indiana. We didn't get as much snow, but it got really cold, and there was one night that we woke up and the top layer of the covers was covered in frost, and we wear we call it head blanket, but it's a blanket that we put on our head, and we keep a little breathing hole, and the whole hole was covered in frost, and it was just kind of, I mean, it wasn't fun, I guess, but it was kind of magical, like, oh, we're sleeping in the snow, you know? I don't know.
you've got a great attitude. If you're going to live in a van, you have to not mind a little bit of frost, right?
Well, it was just one of those things that, you know, you really feel like you're on an adventure when something like that happens. You know, it's like every day I wake up and I think, wow, we're really doing this. It's not just something that we're talking about or that we're dreaming about. We're really doing it, and it's really cool.
She drove west from Salt Lake City to the California coastline. She hit the San Diego freeway doing 60 miles an hour. She had a husband on her bumper. She had a 5 restless children. She was singing as sweet as a mockingbird in that 40 gondolin. She's out of the earth.
Amanda Kennedy from the Blue Van Project, an online video series of testimonials about community service. She and her husband Sean actually live in that blue van. Two folks on the kind of adventure you don't usually hear about. And that, fellow searchers, is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Tell me what you think. At age 25, would you have lived out of a van to work on the project of your dreams? What were you doing at that age anyway? Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.